And 3, 2, 1, hello, Borgen Project volunteers. President Trump signed a full-year appropriations bill funding the State Department and U.S. international assistance programs. The measure caps months of bipartisan negotiations and delivers an outcome many in Washington thought unlikely just weeks ago. The White House's original budget proposal called for deep reductions in foreign aid, cuts that would have pushed funding to its lowest level since World War II. The final bill still reduces spending, but lawmakers preserve funding for several core priorities, including global health programs, humanitarian relief, development assistance, emergency food aid, and economic support for U.S. allies and partners. In doing so, Congress may be reasserting something it rarely exercises in today's political climate, its constitutional power of the purse. The legislation defies the administration's push for steeper cuts and represents a rare bipartisan agreement on foreign assistance. But passing this bill is just the beginning. Now comes the harder part, implementing it. Congress will be watching closely to see whether the State Department actually moves the money out the door. And that raises an important question. Does the State Department have the staff or the political will to do so? The administration announced several new humanitarian assistance efforts in Mozambique, Sudan, and even Cuba. They will receive aid in the wake of devastating flooding. Congress also moved to extend a major foreign aid program with Africa. Lawmakers passed and the president signed a one-year extension of the African Growth and Opportunity Act. The program has helped strengthen trade ties between the United States and African nations for over two decades, and it also supports about 450,000 American jobs. Still, the broader debate about foreign aid continues, and the long-term outlook remains uncertain. A study published this week in the medical journal The Lancet warns that global cuts to foreign assistance could carry serious consequences. Researchers estimate that if current trends continue, reductions in aid from the United States and other Western donors could contribute to more than 9 million additional deaths by 2030. The study suggests decades of progress against HIV, malaria, hunger, and other diseases could begin to unravel. When people talk about cuts to foreign aid, the most visible victims are often those suffering from starvation, disease, homelessness, or violence. But there's another group whose losses are less visible. For decades, the international aid system helped build a professional workforce inside developing countries: government officials, doctors, teachers, program managers, and administrators. Their numbers are relatively small, but their impact is significant. They represent the growth of a middle class that supports civil society, strengthens institutions, and fuels local economic growth. In cities across the global South, that professional class often grew alongside international aid programs. The aid economy created stable careers, financial security, and social standing for thousands of professionals. But much of that stability disappeared almost overnight, when stop-work orders halted many USAID-supported programs. The ripple effect spread quickly through local economies. Projects shut down, organizations closed, and tens of thousands of skilled professionals suddenly found their careers in jeopardy. For many of them, the dismantling of aid programs was not just a policy shift in Washington. It was the loss of livelihoods and the disappearance of opportunity. A reminder that decisions about foreign assistance rarely stop at national borders. They reshape lives and entire communities around the world. I look forward to speaking with you next month.